And that's what I'm teaching about. These are God-centered praying. The reason why people do things that are wrong, usually there are things that are deep-seated inside their heart. Let's read the other scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You see the point I'm trying to make here. It's a pity I use that as an example, but that's the one that comes to my mind quickly because I'm a preacher, and I know the kind of temptation that people in my profession often have to face. 2 Corinthians chapter... What did I say? It was 10 I said, eh? Okay. Let me just quickly run through. I'm going to verse 4, but I always like to back up a bit. Let's start from verse 3. Paul was talking about his manner of conduct. He said, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful. I like King James' expression there. He said, they are mighty through God for the destruction of fortresses or strongholds. What are the strongholds? Verse 5 says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I brought this, we are reading this just to bring out a very well-known portion of the scriptures, a thought that is there, and that's the fact that in life there are strongholds. My Bible New American Standard here used the word fortresses. And now, please, I've finished with the reading now. There are two portions we read. We read this Mark chapter 4, and we are reading this 2 Corinthians chapter 10 to bring out two issues. In Mark chapter 4, we brought out the issue that the word is good, your heart may be good, but if you don't remove the thorns, as good as the word is, the plant, the seed that's germinating and trying to produce fruit, the thorns can choke it. The Bible says that one sinner destroys much good. There are little things that are deep inside our hearts. They don't let the world produce. I can say this to you assuredly, that 100-fold fruit is rare in Christianity. And now, you cannot just make up your minds, please understand this, that I'm going to bear 100-fold fruit. What you can make up your mind concerning is that I will remove all the things that are there. Are you getting my point? There's no way of walking towards a 100-fold fruit directly. What you can do is to remove those things that prevent the 100-fold return from coming, all right, from that word that has entered into your heart. And I'm emphasizing to us here that many times those things are inside, buried. You look at us as Christians. You know, the truth is that you don't know what's going on inside some people's hearts. There is some people. Everybody's heart. You don't know what's going on inside my heart. I can only concern myself with what is going on inside my heart. I leave you to your God, our Father. You get my point? Your relationship with Him. Handle it yourself. All I can do as a teacher of the word is to instruct people with this word of God. But what is going on inside the hearts of people, all right, oftentimes doesn't manifest initially. You know, those of you who were in school, I always used to say, because we're Christians on campus, we had a very good fellowship, very closely knit. So you tended to be affected by the people who are around you. But after a while, you know, people start graduating, they go into the world, like we say. Now, what determines the direction you face, really, is actually what is deep inside your heart. Please, that is very important. When people make decisions every day, many times, because this is how the world works, there's a sermon I was writing, I don't know whether I even finished it. There are many sermons I start, I just forget. How the world works, all right? What I mean by that sermon I was writing is that, I want to bring out the fact that, how the truth sets free. Yeah, that's the title of the sermon. Now that I've mentioned it, I hope I'll remember to finish it. How the truth sets free. When the truth wants to set you free, the first thing that God does for you, actually as a sign of His love, is that He corrects you. Do you understand? If God wants to bless you, He does not bless your mistakes. He does not bless your wrongdoings. He does not. A wrong thing is a wrong thing. A bad thing is a bad thing. God will never bless it. What He does as a sign of His blessing is to correct you. Do you follow? So that you now start making the right decisions. Very important. So when people are going to be blessed by God, what He does is to help them make the right decisions based on the knowledge of truth that they have. As you begin to understand truth, you start making better decisions. Let me give an example. I'm getting to the area of marriage again. Should I marry brother A or brother B? is based on not on whether God showed you a vision or he didn't show you a vision. It's based most of the time on the knowledge of truth that you have. Let me give a very basic one. Very, very basic. For example, you are from, maybe you are from the West, Western Nigeria, you're a Yoruba person. And then Brother A is from Anambra State, and Brother B is from Osun State. Do you get my point? Now, should I marry Brother A or Brother B? Look, that question, God can't talk to you, no matter how much he wants to talk, until he has explained certain fundamental principles of life in Christianity. That as far as he's concerned, whether you are from Anambra or from Osun, makes no difference. Until he has buried that thing deep, you understand? Make sure it's rooted inside your heart. You cannot make the right decision. You can't. You can't. You cannot. So what God does is, you see, it's not as if he tells you, marry Brother A, marry Brother B. No, he teaches you that part of your problem is going to be, this man is an Igbo man, this one is a Yoruba man, and you know my parents. You know, first thing, he has to rid your brain of that thing. Wash it away. Once he has washed it away, a lot of times, without anybody talking to you, your inner witness will witness innerly to you. You know what I mean by inner witness now? You will know the person you like. You know the one that the spirit is gelling with your spirit. You will just know. So when we are going to be confused, this is what I'm making. Some of those tribal sentiments remain deep inside their hearts. And that is a source of confusion. He settles there. God wants to bless them. He can't. Not like he doesn't want to. But he can't. That's what they call the thorns. So you do fantastic marriage seminar. You hear fantastic testimonies. In fact, you're just marrying immediately. You understand my point? The world is so hot, you just want to marry to yesterday. And then you settle down. The world entered very well. Time to start making decisions. The thorns start coming up. A lot of those thorns, they have names. They are called mother and father and cousin. They will phone you. What did you say? Eh? Hey, kilo njebe. Once they talk down like this, hey, you go look and say, about God, you can do all things. They are going to make that brother to come from my place. And God says, it's not that I can't, but I'm not going to do it just because you refuse to believe me. I'm not going to start doing things now that's a sign of your disobedience to what I'm teaching you as revealed truth. So it's only you're not doing things correctly anymore. Why? It's called the thorns. Now notice this is something, they were planted inside. Then they now began to produce, you know, they now grew up and began to choke. That's what I'm emphasizing. It's like choking the word. A brother called me 2 nights ago, and we talked for a very long time. And he was talking about, he lives in a very beautiful place. They are well paid around there. And they are so well paid, the colleagues, the way they solve many problems, that they carry a whole family, export to Canada. Take a whole family and export to UK. And then he said, just they look there and say, you guys, don't deceive me. I'm a man like you. You see your wife once in 6 months, you know, you start setting up yourself up for iniquity. You know what they say, lead us into temptation because we can do it ourselves. So he said, why do people do that? You know, start leading themselves into, I'm telling you, that prayer, that's how some people pray to God, lead us not into temptation because we know how to do that ourselves. Why did they do such things? Do they like that kind of life? No, no. It is simply because they have imbibed certain truths. And I've talked to a lot of Nigerians. I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, there are people who are here, you know they have faith in human systems. We have put our faith in human systems and not in God. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. You hear the word. There are things that are deep inside your heart that will not let the word produce. What I try to teach to Christians is, listen, put your faith in God. Then if God takes you to Australia, you will be blessed there. Did you hear what I said? Yes, sir. Put your faith in who? God. In God. Then it takes you down to my beautiful Malawi. You will be blessed there. Put your faith in who? God. Then it takes you to Switzerland. You will be blessed there. Put your faith in God. He takes you to America. You will be blessed there. Put your faith in God. He leaves you behind in your native country. If you're a Nigerian, you're a Ghanaian, you will still be blessed there. That's what I'm explaining. Don't put your faith in human systems. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. So when people have things deep inside their hearts, it doesn't let the world produce. God can't guide them right into the place of fruitfulness. God-centered praying. God-centered praying. Let me not forget that. That's what we're talking about. Remember, this is our series which I'm running up now. What we're trying to say is that what we need is to walk closer to God. What we need is to walk in a manner pleasing to God. And many of the things people are pursuing in life, they will come to us naturally. And I'm saying that our prayers are to be, you know, used for that purpose. We are not using prayers to pursue enemies. We are not using prayers to pursue the things of this world. We are not using prayers to primarily to solve problems. We are using prayers to draw us closer to God. We are using prayers to bring the knowledge of God clearer to our souls. We are using our prayers to bring forth the image of Christ in us. Talking about this one today, therefore, what do we do? When you are praying, these are the things you go after. A word comes, it doesn't quickly agree with you. You know, Pastor Okemuto. He said, it was in your church, you were preaching once, and you're explaining something to people. That whether you have a male child or a female child means nothing. Children are the heritage of the Lord, not male children.
Do you understand my point?
The fruit of the womb, not male fruit of the womb. Do you get what I'm saying? When that word comes, many people don't want to hear it. It's as in, you are talking like this because you are not from my village. Meanwhile, it's the word of God. So when it happens that the word comes and it doesn't want to quickly agree with you, I've told you before, you cannot obey God by your own strength and your own power. If the word comes like that and the only challenge you have is that it does not make sense to me personally. Not as if you have scriptures that the word is contradicting. Listen, this is how to handle it. We're talking about God-centered praying. What is happening is that there is a thorn deep inside your heart that's about to spring up and choke the word. The way by which you uproot those thorns is what we are talking about. We simply go to God again, lay those things down, and be open about them. Did you hear what I said? Just be what? Open. Listen. Just be open. Okay, let's take the one I've talking about for a very long time. I'll give us an example. A friend of mine told me once, he wants to go abroad. This is not even now. This was long ago. The kind of arguments I give him now will make sense, physically speaking, now. The argument I gave him then will make sense, physically speaking, now because of our profession and improvements that has occurred over the years in remunerations and all of that. But that time when I was a resident, we were extremely poorly paid. And he was hustling to get down out of Nigeria. And eventually, I think he landed in South Africa. I don't know where he now went from there. All right? One day I was talking with him, and I was just telling him the things you've heard me teach and, you know, all of that. And he said, look, that I am lucky. What telling me, he told me I was lucky because he's my age mate, but he did a first degree before he came to study medicine. So I was quite far ahead of him in the profession. So he was saying that he has issues, though. He told me that his sister would need to have surgery, very big time surgery, you know. That, look, these are the issues he's going to have to deal with so that he needs the money. I've told this story before. That night, I felt bad. I felt very bad. Not for him, for myself. That is, I felt that I wasn't reasoning. I knelt down in prayer until the scripture jumped into my head, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit, that except a man hates his father, his mother, you know, he cannot be my disciple. Christianity can be tough. Because this guy just explained why he needed to make his move so as to solve family problems. And the Holy Spirit said to me simply, in effect, you have to follow me and forget family problems first. These are not decisions you just wake up in the morning. A man came to Jesus one day and said, I want to follow you, but first let me go and bury my father. The father was not in mortuary. You must understand. They were not. They are not modern day people that will put somebody in mortuary. They after the family will fix wedding, burial. Family will fix burial for two months time. No. The father, the way somebody explained to me many years ago, the father was alive but old. Do you understand? So burying my father was like, let me stay with him, let him, you know, die, then I will be free of the responsibility. And Jesus looked at him and said, let the dead bury the dead. That those who are not going anywhere, let them make those decisions. See, as for you, follow me. Nobody can follow me and look back and is still worthy of the kingdom. Christianity can be tough. So what do we do at such times? It is simple. And that's what this whole series is about. For us to stop thinking with our own strength. So for us to stop trying to obey God. What we do at such times, you just take the matter like Hezekiah. Kneel down at night, nobody has gone to sleep. Say, God, look at it. I have faith in you that you can prosper anywhere. But look at the family responsibilities I will have to handle. Now, there are two ways you pray prayers. Two people said, how shall these things be? One died, one was blessed. You know that. Second Kings chapter 7. One man said, how shall these things be? He died. You go down to the book of Matthew, Mary said, how shall these things be? She was blessed. So when the spirit with which you ask your questions matter. If you go to God and say, this is why I can't obey you, he won't talk to you. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. These are the family responsibilities, and these are the reasons why I cannot accept that doctrine. That pastor came to church today and is telling me that the fact that I have only girls doesn't matter. When you know in our village, do you understand my point? It matters. Forget that thing he's saying. What is your pastor talking about? And people do that. One of our sisters invited a man here one day, come and hear the word of God. And it happened to be one of those days that I was preaching about money. I'm just digressing to it. And I said some things about money. At the end of the day, she asked him, I hope you were blessed. He said, forget that thing your pastor is saying. A man finished hearing me preach here. As soon as he listened, forget that thing that man is saying. That if we were to go like that, how will we get money for the church? You know my attitude towards all this. If you don't tithe, you won't prosper. If you don't give first fruit, you won't prosper. You must do it with all of them. Boom, I don't believe a word of them. I was like, why don't you? It's not scriptural. All right, we'll talk about it many times, so I'm not talking about that now. So, but what I'm going to emphasize is the fact that people respond and charge at the word of God. Why? Because of things that are buried inside their heart. Many things you preach, people are arguing with you about. You know the problem? Is the consequences that they are, that's worrying them. That's their fear. So the man comes and says, imagine what that man is preaching this morning in our village. No, that one, God won't talk to you. He'll just be looking at you like this. Leaving your confusion. And listen to me, every disobedience has a just recompense of reward. Let me just warn Christians now. Let me say it again. Every disobedience has a just recompense of reward. If you hear a word that is hard for you to obey, don't ever forget. Go and pray about it. You cannot neglect it. If you hear a word that is hard for you to obey, you can't neglect it. You had better go and pray about it. Because every disobedience has a just recompense of reward. So what should that man do? Instead of look at what that man said, you simply go to God at night and pray about the matter. I'm not going to talk about what God will now do. Let God do what seems good in his sight. But first, the word must, by the power of the Spirit, we must uproot every challenge to doctrine. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Like that man I was saying, that forget that thing that your pastor is saying. What should he do? He should go inside because I've had that experience. Many times, what I preach on money, I hardly hear non-pastors quarrel about it. You hear what I say? Yes. What I preach on money, most Christians find it liberating. The people that don't like to hear it are pastors. It's as if I'm going for the jugular of the income. You understand my point? Like this man, why do you want to disturb the financial flow? Unfortunately, I say, I wish people would just listen. Just by the way, I'm digressing a bit, but listen to me. You have not yet seen generosity until you see a Christian that's liberated. When you see a Christian that's liberated, oh, Father in heaven, you will see generosity. Just, I always like to drop this for preachers. When it comes to money, there's one prayer I must never forget. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest field. And this is how I pray my own. I said, Lord, send financial laborers into this harvest field. I mean, he said, the Lord has sent me and his spirit. God cannot send me and not send something with it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, he sends enablement. So the prayer I prayed, and I still remember once in a while, Lord, send financial laborers into the harvest field. It will come to pass that we'll be spending, you know, scores of millions of naira monthly in this ministry. But listen to me, I have come to fully understand something. 90% of that money will come from 12 people. 12. Who has time to be begging for offering? I've not done that now, but a time will come. I will just know some of the 12. I'll just call and say, hey, oh boy, brother A, sister B, sister C, we need 600 million. You guys will contribute by the next 6 weeks, okay? And all they will say is what? Yes, sir. Whether it is their tithe or their first fruit, their second fruit, the third fruit, it wouldn't concern me. For some, it will be their last fruit. That is, they will just gather everything. But like I keep on saying, the way I'm dedicated to preaching, some people are also called to be dedicated to giving. When we get to heaven, did you fulfill your ministry? All the preachers on this line, queue up. How did you fulfill your ministry? Say, okay, you. Did you preach everything that said you should preach? Did you withhold anything? Because as preachers, listen to this, you have to be careful you don't withhold. I have a few preachers in the house, so mean I listen. As preachers, you must be careful that you don't withhold. Why do people withhold? I'll tell you. You don't want to offend people. If I say, they'll think I'm talking about them. Are you getting my point? They are still young, they don't understand it yet. You've been saying this for 6 years. They are still young. One day, one of my brothers, you know, a minister of the gospel, pastor somewhere not too far away from here, a few hours from here. He said in his church, he's very dedicated man, serious with his ministry, with the word of God, does not play with money. All right, what I mean, like, he's very careful with financial matters, all right? So now say something that, you know, that in his church, and this is a matter of, I've seen it, in fact, the second minister I'm knowing that's doing that most people, because of the way he preaches and all of that, most church members don't actually give to him. They give to the work and all of that. So I said, you know whose fault is it? It is. He said, who? I said, it's your fault. He said, hey, let it not be as if I'm looking for their money. I said, you're right, but the time has passed. You have to teach the balanced truth. My friend invited me to come and preach some time ago. He had the same complaint. You know, as a pastor, let's be honest, this is get as it be. This is the only job you do. You know nothing else. You're just preaching. You see a man came to church in poverty. You know, poverty sat on his left. You know, let's sit on your right and your left in your kingdom. In his kingdom, there was poverty on the left, poverty on the right. You preached and drove away the poverty. They left him alone. Then goodness came to the left. Mercy followed him. Then bro, move. He buy motor. He move. He begin build house. And then time he buys a car, he calls the pastor. Please come and dedicate. Then you dedicate. You go home and he gives you one bottle of wine. No wahala. Well, we thank God. Then he's building a house. He calls you. You dedicate. As you are leaving, give pastor one bag of rice. And the men of God are looking and say, Father. So one of my friends said that thing. I said, it's your fault. I listen, all of you just listen now so that you know the kind of human being I am. One day you will buy a private jet, amen? Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Don't be afraid, you won't die, amen?
Amen.
One day, if people have been flying private jet for a long time, do you understand my point? If you want to call me to come and dedicate it, let me warn you ahead of time. I just want to warn you ahead. You are going to buy a G-Class. I'll come and drop it in my house in the morning. Otherwise, I go swear that plane will never fly. So you hear now. No, let's discuss this thing ahead of time so that it won't get to that time that you like somebody. Let me just warn you now. You want to call me to come and dedicate private jet? I'll just read it that day. Brethren, let us pray. Father, we thank you. You are the good God. This plane will never crash in the name of Jesus Christ. How can it crash when it will never fly? You say, sir, what did you say? I say, you are an idiot. You are flying private jets. You never heard of private Mercedes-Benz? Private Land Cruiser? My friend, lock this engine. Call out T. Briscoe. Tell them to, in fact, for your punishment is that there must be two. Because I know the price of a private jet. They're talking $10 million. And all this one I'm talking about buying the G-Class is not up to $100,000. Oh, okay, let's say $120,000. So, boy, today I believe in Titan. Today. Go on. Oh, the Lord is good. Okay, no, Titan is going to be big, all right? I'll spare you. I'm telling you the truth. That is the right thing to do. We're not talking the level of I'm just managing to eat. You will leave you while you're managing to eat. But when God begins to prosper you, you chop that money alone, you go get mouth, your mouth goes swell. I'm just telling you ahead of time, you preach what? Somebody go prosper, you go chop alone. And this kind of the cause wahala for church. Pastor, man of God, what is this? The Lord is good. Anyway, so I told my friends, I said, you are the cause. So when I got to the church, I said, today I'm preaching on financial truth. If your pastor won't tell you, I'll tell you. Because these are men of integrity. Because of their integrity, they don't declare the whole counsel of God. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I went into that. You have to balance the truth. I was talking the other day about John G. Lake. John G. Lake, his wife died needlessly because the man wouldn't preach the whole truth. I've never heard of a man more anointed than that. Powerful man of God. But my own assessment is that he didn't balance the whole truth. His wife died of hunger. Oh, thank God for Martin Luther's wife, the Reformation man. His own wife was different. Everybody comes to their house, they want to hear what? The woman says, hear what? Which kind of word? Man, no go chop. Oh, yeah! The woman child get fee. So, that's all of now. Go hear what? Finish, go home. Hunger will they keep Martin Luther for here and his wife. Lie, lie. The woman didn't agree. You want to hear what? You go drop something. Sometimes you have to learn to balance truth. Though. The Bible school students that will come and hear the gospel in the morning, everybody go to the field, go and walk, go. Go and farm. They will farm in the morning, hear the Bible at night. Where will the food come from? The woman was one tough babe like this. Tough. They said that was why Martin Luther's ministry was sustained. But my brother, John G. Lake, no. He will come for healing. Man of God is not around. The wife will be feeding them. The little food they had a lot of kids. That is, the woman suffered, finally died. And she had one of the most anointed men this world had ever seen. I sat down one day, my head couldn't contain it. Say, God, what happened? Later I began to understand. Say, forget it. You have to declare the whole counsel of God. He said, they are poor people. They know they farm for their poverty. They are coming from village. Yeah, I know they grow for there. Orange, Inko. One young man came all the way from Bakiliki. He said, came to see me. What are you seeing me about? He said, I want to discuss his problems with me. In my mind, your problems. I have a wife, I have children, I have ministry, I have work to do. And is your problem I'll be listening to on a Sunday morning? I didn't say anything. I said, okay, go ahead. He said, he needs accommodation. Uh-huh. I asked him simply, how is that my problem? You say, hey, wicked man of God. No. I told the young man, I said, come on. Where did you say we met before? He said, you listen to me on radio. I said, in all the things I said on radio, in which one did I say those with accommodation problems should come and see me? I was so angry with him. You left Abakiliki on a Sunday to come to Enugu to discuss accommodation problem. He said he's starting a business, he needs connection. I said, when you were hearing me, did you hear me say I help people with connection for business? I said, did you go to secondary school? He said, yes. I said, did you ever study economics? He said, yes. That means you're head of division of labor. He said, yes, sir. I said, labor is divided. I preach to you, it is free. Some people pay. That thing is not free. You hear it at home. Some people pay to ensure you hear it free. It is wickedness on your part to bring your accommodation problem and your business problem to come and add on to all these ones I've done for you. You come from Bakiliki, they know they grow pineapple for there. Oranges,
I look at the boy and say, oh boy, if there's nothing else, I'll enter church. Yeah? I'm sure the guy was looking like a weak guess. I don't care. The Lord is good. I'm sure I'm helping somebody. You have to declare the whole council. Pastor, that's what I'm trying to say. If you see something for your church, one man, they beat his wife. Say, if I talk about love your wife now, he will think I'm preaching about him. Let him think so. Let him think so. I'll be honest with you. That's one of the things I have to fight. If I'm preaching, I don't care who thinks I'm talking about him. I will talk it. If the worst you will do is I won't talk to me again, Abby. I'll still continue preaching the ministry. You have to declare the whole council. That's what I'm talking about. You must declare the whole council if you're a preacher. Some people go verse, they go come out. Look, is that the first time? In fact, if they never have verse come out for your ministry, you have not started. Because when Jesus preached correct word, every man miss. Jesus preached the truth, everybody ran away. So you wouldn't be the first. Preacher, you must declare the whole truth. And don't let anything choke it. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. As Christians also, when the truth is coming for us, we must respond to the whole truth. Why don't we respond? The thorns. Those are the things they call strongholds. They are inside there. Those strongholds have told you that you know if by this age you have not built a house, it means you are not successful. Please, go and take our last magazine. Am I really succeeding? Read it. The house you built is not at all a sign of success. It can be a sign of failure. That is, God says in heaven, has he failed? The angel says, yes, I prove it. He said he has built the house. There's one man of God in this country. Eh? He has died now. I won't mention his name. But those of you who are into ministry, you can ask me, I'll tell you. Powerful man of God. Jim man of God. Well, I can't know what I'm talking about. Last time I went, that old man I was telling you about, he was telling us stories about one white man who was in Nigeria, died as a very old man. Prophetic man. He said, in fact, he said, these are men you avoid, lest they tell you the whole story of your life. So in case you are not living right with God, you run when they are coming. Because if they meet you like this, you go look and say, excuse me, sir, I'm coming. No, sir, I'm not coming. Because you know that all your iniquities are about to be Nathanized to your face. You know Nathan? Yeah. Come up with it in your face. So the man met, he looked at one powerful man of God in Nigeria and said, this man has missed his ministry. That's it. They never spoke again. Just told the man straight. You have missed your ministry. This is what you are doing. It's not what God called you to do. And this man was building big churches. And the man just looked at his tree and said, this one, he has missed his ministry. He told him straight, like that. One of the signs that the man had missed his ministry was that he built a very good church. He said, this man has built this church. The old man, prophet, looked at it and said, you have missed what God called you to do. Are you really succeeding? Forget those material things. Remove them from your heart by prayer. Those things that don't allow the word produce in you. When the word comes and a challenge rises up in your heart against the word, don't fight. Go and uproot everything that is, that's buried. Uproot it by what? Prayer. That's what I'm talking about today. Let's close. Because I've taken a lot of extra time. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's just give the Lord thanks for the power of his word. Just, Father, we thank you. Just say, Lord, thank you. Again, quickly, just say, every thorn, every seed of thorns that's inside my heart, every seed of thorns that's inside my heart, every seed of thorns, Lord, I lay my heart open before you, and I say to you, Lord, uproot. Lord, by your spirit, stretch your hand in and pull it out. Burn it up. Don't spare anything, Lord, don't spare anything. Why? Because the deepest desire of my heart is to be pleasing to you. Because the deepest desire of my heart is to be pleasing to you. Therefore, Lord, I say, do not spare anything. Lord, therefore, I say, do not spare anything. So every negative thought, everything that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. Like we say, we call them strongholds. Every stronghold, I speak to them now, be broken in the name of Jesus. Human thoughts, you know, societal ideas, value systems that are brought out of, you know, tribal sentiments, you know, national identity, you know, pride of life. Some say you are a first son, so what? Everything that's not dictated by the word of God, but has forming value systems in my life, I speak against them today. I say, Lord, uproot them. And I say to them, be uprooted in the name of Jesus. Say, be uprooted in the name of Jesus. Let's just give him thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. Because you are so good. In Jesus' name we have prayed.